In considering a theme for today's service, I selected the topic, Let There Be Light. Now, when I began to work on my lesson, I realized I could have chosen the title, Let There Be Revelation, Let There Be Illumination, Let There Be Enlightenment, or perhaps, Let There Be Understanding, or Let There Be Wisdom. The plea, Let There Be, is an appeal from the heart, indicating a desire to discern and identify, to become aware in a way that is certain and reliable. We direct our request to a superior entity, to a source wiser than we are. We ask for guidance and direction, seeking answers beyond the acceptance of ordinary man. The thing is this, we tend to act on what we think we know. Proceeding in this way, we notice that actions have consequences, and sometimes we do not like what we have set in motion. And we begin to wonder, where did we go wrong? What we desire to know, it must be true and accurate. It must have accountability, revealing deeper meaning and significance. We do not wish to be deceived, going off in degrees of erroneous beliefs and uncertain conditions. So we ask, how do we know what to think and what to believe? What is factual? What is illusion? What is true and what is false? What is the measurement that determines accuracy and dependability? The other day, I overheard two friends involved in a conversation. One of the individuals was sharing her opinion about something, and the other person was having a difficult time believing what her friend had to say. Finally, in desperation, she asked, "Where did you get your information?" The friend replied, "I got it from the internet." The response was, "Well, that explains it," indicating that perhaps we should not consider everything we read on the internet to be true, or even remotely accurate. In the grocery store, we pick up an item from the shelf, and we begin to read the list of ingredients, its nutritional value, and the number of calories per serving. Now, we would like to be able to trust what we are reading. However, a little voice inside us begins to question, is this information correct? Does a government agency set and regulate the standards for manufacturing and marketing, or is it more or less left up to the company to decide what they think is best? What about that auto mechanic, the financial advisor, or salesperson? Each has a designated area of expertise. We seek their advice, and they are more than willing to give it to us. And again, we begin to wonder, asking the question, is this advice based on their personal training or experience? Is it based on the conventional wisdom of the day? Or does it merely reflect their opinion of what it should be? How do we really know for sure? You see, even as we go about our daily affairs, we seek guidance concerning accountability and reliability. And we find ourselves pleading, let there be light. Reveal the truth of what I am looking at. Next, we consider the work of reason and logic, and most of all, the ability to use what we call our common sense. These things have existence in the realm of mental activity, and they do bring a degree of accuracy. The Divine Science Spiritual Psychology class considers these to be mental tools, explaining that each does have a purpose and a function. They remind us the tools are for our use, emphasizing that they do not use us. Belonging to the realm of mental work, they are the darlings of the intellect. The human intellect thinks that it knows beyond doubt and uncertainty, considering itself above to be superior and above to gossip and innuendo, suggestion and intimidation. In our plea of let there be light, let there also be understanding and illumination, we admit that what we really want is truth, asking, show me the reality behind the manifestation. What is the nature and the characteristics that support and maintain? The answers to these questions are important to us. They address the issues of life, revealing wisdom beyond the range of human comprehension. Helen Zagat, an early divine science minister, wrote a book called Faith and Works. She introduces us to what she considers the reality of life. Contained in her book is discussion concerning the various forms of prayer. She goes on to explain what she calls true prayer. She admits that there are pleas and supplications masquerading as prayer. She calls them counterfeits, not high enough or deep enough to commune with our Father, which art in heaven. Her rule of measurement is depth, ignoring what is shallow and superficial. She also writes about divine attributes. Now, when she uses the word divine, she means what is of God, pure, not tainted by human opinion and speculation. I begin with divine wisdom. Now, wisdom is the idea of absolute knowing in divine mind. The wisdom of God is far greater and wider than what the world considers its wisdom. Divine wisdom is the absolute aspect of knowing. Intellect is the human or relative aspect. Next, she discusses divine love. Now, divine love is the harmonious action of spirit. It is the idea of unity in divine mind. It moves serenely through all creation, seeing only the good. Its divine quality adjusts and balances, revealing light in the place of darkness, order in place of confusion. Divine love, it does not discriminate, nor can it be manipulated or directed. It cannot be restricted or confined. The divine attributes of God are available to all humanity. They dwell in the heart and the soul of man. And when we awaken to our reality, you might say when we become enlightened, we are aware of the truth of us as absolute being. Helen Zagat introduces us to the reality of our existence. We have said it before. We are spiritual beings, our nature divine. It is our birthright to claim all that belongs to that nature and to understand that those divine attributes are our qualities and characteristics. When we claim from the place of deep awareness, the divine wisdom of inner being reveals and enlightens. Light is symbolic of spiritual attainment. We are not masquerading as God's child, nor are we the counterfeit of human identity. Our plea for light and illumination is our desire to live consciously as God's child, to reside in God's house, one with all that is true and absolute. It is good for us to know this. You see, while it is true that light and illumination are qualities of our inner being, we will only discover them when we enter the place of inner being. And so you see, at this stage of our unfoldment, our only responsibility is to develop our own spiritual consciousness. Therefore, we consider the art of meditation. In our time of meditation, the light of inner being, which is of God, stirs in recognition, releasing the light that is stored up in us. The kingdom of God, that is spiritual light, is within us, and we must open out a way for it to escape. The sole purpose of meditation is to be in God's presence and allow Him to do the work. Let there be God. Yes, our plea is, let there be light. Let there be illumination, revelation, enlightenment, wisdom, and understanding. Nevertheless, let us also understand that exposure to this insight is not meant for our personal clarification only. Remember, the command is to let it escape. Now, when something escapes from us, it is no longer ours alone. Lifted consciousness releases it, freeing it to do its work. Motivated by the divine nature that gave it its life, its qualities and characteristics. And remember, Helen Zagat told us that the divine attributes move serenely through all creation. The enlightened one has a responsibility to let their light shine, going before them, inspiring and uplifting that one who has not yet discovered the light in them. However, we may ask, what is the light that inspires and uplifts? It is truth. It is knowledge that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Illumined consciousness reveals, I am not that man of dust. I am not that one who sits in darkness. I am from on high. God has written my name in heaven. He has prepared a place for me. I am eternal life. Now, a state of darkness is simply the absence of light. It is an unillumined consciousness. It is void of true wisdom and understanding. Now, the darkness with its forms vanish the moment that light is introduced. When we observe discords and inharmonies around us, perhaps in our home or our workplace, this is our opportunity to begin our practice. That practice consists of meditating until we feel the presence of God, and then let it perform its function. This is important. When we find a way for the light in us to escape, it's really not us doing anything. It is not us going anywhere. It is not a matter of us saying, oh, now that the light has revealed itself in me, now that I am illumined, I personally will go out into this world and make everything better. This is not how it works. It is not our purpose to function in this way. Actually, we do not have the power to act in this way. God is the light in us, and its function is to go before us, making every crooked place straight. Let me remind you that we are merely the avenues for its expression. To be the transparency for God's work, we stand aside in a personal way. We become the beholder, the observer, bearing witness to God functioning in all creation, harmonizing and aligning all with His divine plan for perfection. While we understand that it is God's function to do the work, let us not develop the lazy habit of saying, "Oh, just leave it to God." Remember, in the world of form, that God works through the consciousness of an individual, through the open and receptive attitude. Jesus is the perfect example of how to do this. Jesus understood that he of himself could do nothing. However, when he turned to his Father above all else, he became the avenue through which the work was done. Jesus' consciousness of wholeness was the way for God to restore the sick and sinning to their rightful place. Jesus' consciousness of the abundant life was the way for God to feed the hungry and raise the dead. H. Emily Cady, a Unity teacher, reminded us that our hand is God's hand. Jesus told us that in our time of uncertainty, that God would give us the words to speak and the actions to take. It is God's function to do so. However, we only benefit from God's presence when we are in God's presence, which is why we can never become lazy in our spiritual work. God's responsibility is to function through us, and it is our responsibility to allow God to function as us, which means that we must stay prayed up. We studied the works of the early divine science ministers. Now, they call this activity practicing the presence and living the truth. It is the responsibility of every divine science teacher to inspire others to lift their eyes on high and behold the light in them. Illumined consciousness is the way of revelation. The divine science course of study reveals there is a center within each one of us, which is complete harmony, complete spiritual rest and peace from this world. God is no respecter of persons. That same divine center is the center of all humanity. I spoke earlier of the art of meditation. Divine science teaches meditation as the way to the kingdom. The Bible is quite clear. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing shall come nigh our dwelling place to harm us. When we are separate and apart from the world, the storms of life do not bother us, nor are we involved with its gossip and innuendos. We do not question where we got our information, nor do we ask if it is reliable or dependable. When the light within us illumines us, we hear God's voice only and none else. This is the purpose of spiritual study and practice. Throughout all times, men have searched for an enlightened individual, one to lead them and guide them. Sensing there was someone greater than they were, they longed for a Messiah, that one who would make their life better and save them from their sins. Now, the Bible speaks to us of 10 righteous men. It goes on to say that if 10 righteous men lived in a city, that city could be saved. We may ask, what is a righteous man, and from what could the city be saved? Charles Fillmore, in his Revealing Word, tells us that righteousness is a state of harmony, established in consciousness through the right use of God-given attributes, those divine attributes. Truth working in consciousness brings forth the perfect salvation of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. And righteousness, or right relation, is expressed in all of his affairs. The righteous man is the one of lifted consciousness, one with the nature and attributes of God. The righteous one has attained the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. With this one in charge, there is nothing to oppose it. The lesser idea of life, of God, and of man is swept away, erasing erroneous belief and misconception. There is one spiritual light, one spiritual consciousness, and it is Christ. The enlightened individual knows this is his true name. Living as Christ, the Spirit works through him. That same Spirit that worked through Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jesus, John, and Paul is that same Spirit that works through all humanity. The one requirement is the individual live as Christ. The spiritual path is a journey from darkness to light. Emerging out of the density of human consciousness into the light of spiritual realization, in which there is no darkness. The destiny of every man and of every woman is to live as that one who has his being in Christ. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. The invitation is given, come on to me, and I will give you rest. In this time of solitude, we rest in the serenity of the moment. There are no thoughts, just the silent communion of inner being. We are alone with God, calm and serene. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. When we are quiet, we are receptive to the still small voice. Divine revelation is wise and certain. It comes as light and illumination, lifting us beyond the confines of ordinary man. It restores and it renews, harmonizing every aspect of our life. The voice speaks of truth, the truth of our being. Father and I are one. We are at peace, content in the knowledge that we are not alone. This morning we accept the invitation to rest in his kingdom. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all peace. form are His. Praise Him, all ye His truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto His name.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.